This audio file is a production of the University of Chicago Law School. Visit us on the web at www.law.uchicago.edu.
We thought, Ariel and I thought, that we'd like to introduce the substance of the symposium and take 5 to 10 minutes to kind of lay out what to expect in the next day and a half. And for us, the idea for the symposium begins from the following observation, which is very simple, but probably in some many ways also very incorrect. The basic rule of liability in tort law is fault. The basic rule of liability in contract is no fault. And for private law scholars, this is probably the most dramatic and important difference between torts and contracts. And it's puzzling. It's puzzling particularly for people that adhere to the law and economics view that regard these areas of the law as two examples of the law doing basically the same thing, and that is giving incentives for people to take precautions against harmful consequences. In tort law, the harmful consequence is an accident. In contract, the harmful consequence is breach of the promise and the harm from breach. And so we'd like to think about these areas in a unified fashion. In fact, Bob Cooter has coined the term a unified model of precaution that many law and economics people accept as gospel. Dick Craswell, who's with us here, wrote several classic papers showing how to think about contractual conduct as a precaution problem. And precaution is a kind of, by and large, a tort, isn't the core of the tort inquiry. So if it is a unified model, why are the rules of liability so dramatically different? This is the background puzzle, and we think that any explanation, any kind of an attempt to explain this, you know, benchmark question, this fundamental question, has to begin with a better understanding of the role of fault in both areas. Now, this is not a tort conference, so what we're doing is the first half of the job to understand a little better the role of fault in a contract law, and we're trying to do this in this symposium, I guess, in the three ways that we always do things. First, descriptively, to try to describe what's going on. Second, historically, to understand how it emerged. And finally, normatively, with a strong emphasis here on the law and economics normative approach. Descriptively, you will see in these next few days big disagreement. Some people will say, and that's maybe what makes this topic so interesting. Some people will stand up here and say, contract law is all about fault. Richard Epstein might say that he always thought this way, and in fact, I got it all wrong. Contract is about fault, tort is strict liability. Other views, Mel Eisenberg, who is not here but contributed a paper, George Cohen, who has launched this kind of inquiry that we're all doing here today, will demonstrate that fault is everywhere in contract doctrine. The other end of the spectrum, Bob Scott, who is not here, but Fabrizio Cafaggi, will present his paper and discuss it, and Dick Posner, who will be here tomorrow, will argue that contract isn't not at all about fault. It is a strict liability regime, by and large. In between, we will have different accounts that identify some kind of an intermediate role for fault, if you want to think about it this way. For example, Eric Posner, who will speak here first today, will show us the situations in which no fault can be a defense against liability, showing that party was not in fault would lead to a reduction of liability. There will be several articles that will discuss the intermediate role that comparative fault has in contract law relative to its more expansive role in tort law. That is the descriptive portion of our conference. Historically, we will, you know, some contributors, notably Roy Kreitner, who will speak in the first panel, and Richard Epstein, who will Richard Epstein too, will discuss how this divide came about, why the rules of fall developed differently in contracts and in towards Stefan Grundmann as well, will demonstrate, just to kind of give you a taste, Kreitner will argue that historically fault standards were considered as publicly imposed, as socially imposed, and that was in conflict with this the basic underlying notion of contract as privately imposed, as parties' creation. But perhaps the most most of the time we will spend in the conference here will discuss the normative perspective, namely how to justify the particular contours of the rules of fault in contract law, and I think we'll be able to identify three prongs of this question or three directions in which this question. First, should fault play an aggravating factor, a party who breached with much fault, should that party be liable for more? Two, should the absence of fault be a mitigating factor? And three, to what extent victim fault should matter? On the first question, on fault as an aggravating factor, we'll have several papers on willful breach. One of the fascinating puzzle, why willful breach is sometimes regarded as more severe than accidental or inadvertent breach. This will be three papers that address this from an economic perspective, providing three different economic justifications for the willful breach doctrine. And another paper by Shaina Shiffrin, thinking about it from the perspective of morality, is willful breach morally wrong, worse than other kinds of breach? I mentioned the no-fault defense idea, that will be the focus of Eric Posner's thesis. There will be, and the third prong, the comparative fault factor, Ariel Porat will advance a thesis that comparative fault has to play a more important role in contract law, and could and should play a more important role in contract law. Robert Scott's paper takes the opposite view, and in between we will see interesting ideas about the role of comparative fault. So Lev Moore, for example, will describe how parties can vary the magnitude of the comparative fault defense in their contract. So we'll see, with fault having a variety of roles in contract law, at the end we will ask ourselves, I think we will have a little bit more to traction to this tort contract dichotomy along this no-fault lines. Is there really, in modern law, with products liability sitting in the intersection between tort law and sales contract law, is there really room for separate doctrinal grounds for liability? In the end, was Kutter right? Is it a unified model, not just in economic theory, but in legal doctrine? Can we unify much of the doctrine, can peel off the labels and see that they're doing the same? I think that against the tradition of clear and rigid, but I think we'll find out inaccurate distinctions, we hope that the contribution of this symposium is in constructively blurring the picture. So with no further ado, we'll start the first panel.
This audio file is a production of the University of Chicago Law School. Visit us on the web at www.law.uchicago.edu.